Good morning, everyone.
Ivan goes with Jane.
Yeah.
Because of the shirt.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why I wore the shirt today, because if I get lost, I'll know where to go. I'll just follow Jane. Wonderful to be here with you again. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. What a blessing this church is. You know, how many years has it been established? You've been here in this building for how many years? 15 years, would it be, Glenn? 15 years here in the building? Or longer? Longer? I'm trying to work out. The last time we spoke here, this section wasn't here. And we spoke outside there. And when I came just a while ago and walked in, I thought, wow, isn't this wonderful? You've just grown so much in your building capacity to just to enlarge and enlarge. But God is looking today for people who will obey him. People who are called to do his will. So God is calling people, and he's calling you and I to obey him. Our calling is for children's ministry. I never intended to get involved with children. I've now been full-time in children's ministry for 43 years. That's a long time, isn't it? For somebody who never intended to get involved, it's a long time. But when I got saved, my whole eyes opened up and I thought, Lord, why didn't somebody teach me clearly when I was a little boy in Sunday school? Why didn't they tell me that Jesus could change my life? I never heard that. And it wasn't until I was 24 until I heard the gospel clearly. And then I thought, I can do something about that. Never intended that it was going to last this long. I actually said to the guy I was working with, David Young, I said, I'll give you 3 months, just 3 months, and then I'll go back to work. So I was an elevator mechanic. So what does an elevator mechanic got to do with children's ministry? Nothing. Nothing at all. But it's just, yeah, you're lifted up, aren't you? And there's lots of ups and downs, so that's good. But, you know, God had prepared me beforehand. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. But God has a plan for each one of us. And Glenn pinched my verse. He's already read it out to you. And I had this on PowerPoint. But what I want to look at in this verse is, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. I want you to look to somebody next to you and say, you are God's special person. Now, I want you to really mean it this time, okay? Look to somebody else and say, you are God's special person. Now, I can see that you're not really enthusiastic about this. So this might help you a little bit. Point to yourself and say, I am God's special person. Okay. You know, sometimes we can look at other people and we can think, wow, look at them. They are so special. God has gifted them. God has used them. But me, I'm not very special. I grew up in Mount Druitt in Sydney. Anybody know Mount Druitt? Anybody? Yeah, Mount Druitt. That's a rough area. It's like a Balga. Yeah. And I grew up there and I was a bit of a boy, a lad. And I got myself into all sorts of trouble. But before that, I went to Sunday school for 5 years. 5 years in Sunday school. And one guy realised that he could do something to change my life. They didn't know how to present the gospel back in those days. But what he did, he kept on praying for me that God would touch me. God would change me. God would do something to me. And he prayed for me for 20 years. Isn't that amazing? 20 years he prayed for me. And finally, when I was 24, he led me to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? But by the time I left Sydney, where I went to Sunday school, to Mount Druitt, there was probably around about 15, 16 years where I was right out in the wilderness. And I used to get into all sorts of trouble. We won't go into any of that. But God had a plan for me. And he had a plan to bring me out of darkness into his light. But God used that one man who prayed for me, constantly pray for me for that 20 years. He would send me a birthday card every year for 20 years. And in that birthday card, he had one little tract in there, Four Spiritual Laws. You know that tract? Anyone ever seen that? Yeah. And I would get the tract and I'd rip it up. But the birthday card, that meant a lot to me because I knew that he loved me. You know, we need to love the world, don't we? We need to love those who are outside, lost. And this scripture says here that, so you're his own special people, so God has called you, you are chosen, that, so God has a plan for you. And this is what his plan is, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So who is this for? You. You, me. It's for us, isn't it? So the first part, it says we're chosen, his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. So we all have a role to do. We have to proclaim the praises of our God. Wow Week is a wonderful time where you can just focus on what God wants to do in the whole world, how he wants to take his love, sowing seeds, that's what we're doing here, into the world. And I came yesterday morning to your prayer group. Jane and I were just amazed at what you guys are doing as a church, the groups that you are supporting. Like we prayed for, I think, 45 minutes, and there were still 8 or 9 groups that we never got anywhere near. So you are doing an incredible work, and through that, God is sowing seeds of his love into the world, and the gospel is going out because of this church. Isn't that incredible? So you might think we're not doing very much, but through this church and being a part of this and the faith promises, it's like sowing seeds into different countries. Our church does faith promises, and for probably the last 10 years or so, we've been doing that. And Jane and I, we give regularly. But I can remember a number of years ago, our pastor challenged us just to go a little bit further, just to believe God for a little bit more. And we, being missionaries, we didn't have a lot of money to spare. And well, we had no money to spare. We would just get by week after week. But God really challenged me. And let me tell you, God wants to challenge you with your promises. And so on the way home from church, our son Jordan was in the car with us. And we were, Jane and I was talking with Jordan about reaching out and doing something a little bit more for God. So as we talked about it, we realised we didn't have any spare money. How many of you are like that? You just get through each week and you haven't got a lot of money to spare, especially pensioners? Yep, yep. And you know what happens? Sometimes because of that, you can pull back and say, I'd like to give more, but I can't, because my budget says this. But this is where the faith promises come in. When you have faith to believe that God can do above what you have, and he can meet those needs regularly. So we lifted our promise by $100 a month, which was a lot for us, or a lot. I mean, it was a lot. We didn't have it. But you know, God is faithful, isn't he? And you know what he's looking for? Faith. He's looking for faith in people like you who says, yes, I believe that we want to take the gospel out into the world. And God, my little bit that I give, you can take that and you can use it. And you can do something special with that money. Last year, my pastor was speaking and he said something that was really profound. I was sitting there and I was just listening to him. And he said, the more seed that we have, the more seed we can sow, the greater the harvest. Now, that's really profound, isn't it? But it never dawned on me, the more I give, the more seeds that can go out, the bigger the harvest we can have for the Lord. So you might say, oh, I've only got an extra, or I can only believe God for $5. Let me tell you, that's $5, that seed can be sown into another country. And you know, God can use that and we can have a harvest because of that. So isn't that amazing? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So you are his masterpiece. He's created you for good works that he's prepared for you. See, you're not in this church as an accident. God has put you here on purpose. He's got a plan for you. And part of that being in this church is you have that heart for world missions. And I think it's so exciting. You know, many churches now, they're so inward looking. And they're not looking, they're not giving missions pledges every year. They're not sending money into missions. They become inward looking. But this church looks out. And I love what Glenn said, that if you could see what was in the budget and what was coming in, sometimes you think, I haven't got enough money to do that. But every month, the money's come in. And that's because you have been faithful to what God is calling you to do. So maybe God is asking you to do a little bit more. Maybe he's asking you to believe a little bit more. So next week when you come, I think you're filling out the promises next week. Maybe just this week just say, Lord, you want to speak to me? Do you want to do something a little bit more? Because I'm your workmanship and you've created me for good works. And maybe that good works is just to give that little bit more for world missions. I know a lady who's a pensioner and I've known her for many years. And probably for the last 4 or 5 years, she's been collecting bottles, the plastic bottles. Okay? And she goes around and she gets all her neighbours and she gets her friends and she puts some money, gets some money, and she's been sending it to us and we've been sending it off to Africa. You know, every month, sometimes it's $160. Sometimes it was minimum $100, up to $106, sometimes more. And you just think, well, this lady's just a pensioner. And I spoke to her recently and I said, Pat, you know, you're getting a bit old for this now. It must be really hard for you to... And she said, I can still go through the bins, Ivan. She can still go through the bins. You know why? Because her heart is for the lost. She can do something. And let me tell you, God wants to challenge you to do something. So we are his workmanship. He's created you for good works. Like, as I said, I was an elevator mechanic. I knew nothing about children's ministry. But as I look back, I can see what God was doing in my life. As an elevator mechanic, we would go in and we would... I was on the repair department, so I would go out to different churches, go out to different buildings in Sydney and work on the lifts. And so we would have to come in and we'd prepare everything, because once we left the depot, you couldn't go back. So you had to have everything with you, so you would have to think through exactly what you were doing. And you know, that's what I'm doing now. Once we leave Australia, there's no coming back. So beforehand, I have to prepare everything and have it all ready to go and think through the details of everything that we're doing while we're overseas. And that was, God was training me as I was an elevator mechanic. So he's prepared you for the tasks that he wants you to do. And you might say, well, I'm not very special. Well, let me tell you, you are. We read this morning that you are his special people. So God has prepared something for you to do. You were made on purpose. Sometimes we think, well, maybe we're an accident. We had a big family. There were 7 of us in the family. My dad was an alcoholic. My mum had to work all through her life, basically, just to put food on the table for us. And there was 2 families. There was an older family, and then 3 in the older family, and then the younger family come along. And, you know, the younger family, we really struggle. And I always thought, well, maybe I was an accident. Maybe You know, my sister, older sister, she was brilliant at school. I mean, she was a school captain. She went on to become a teacher and everything else. But so while she was passing all the exams, you know what? I was failing all the exams. I was 18 months younger than her, went to Mountwood High School, and the teachers couldn't wait to get me out of the school. In fact, I forged my mum's signature so I could leave. Back in those days, if you were 14, if your parents sent a letter saying that you could leave, they would let you go. So I wrote this letter and signed it, my mum's signature. Remember, I wasn't a Christian then, okay? Okay. Signed it with my mum's signature and took it to the school. Now, I'm sure they knew it was a fake, but they wanted me out of there, quick smart. So they just let me go, and I thought, wow, isn't this wonderful? I'm out. So I started working in a factory. Didn't know what God was going to do in my life. Didn't know God. But, you know, God had a plan, and he made me on purpose. If you were to look back at my life and see what I've done in the last 43 years. In fact, the guy who led me to the Lord, Ian Longstaff, his name is, he's now 92. We seen him 3 weeks ago. He lives in Melbourne. We're over in Melbourne, and we seen him. And it was just so wonderful. And he still tells the stories of when I was a little boy and how he would pray because he knew that God had a plan. He wanted to do something in my life. He didn't have a clue what it was. But, you know, God might put somebody on your heart to pray for. And you might think, God, I prayed for them for 1 week and nothing's changed. And so you say, okay, I'll go 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 20 years he prayed for me. Must have been a hard nut, hey? But he kept praying, he kept on believing. He would visit our family, come up and visit us. And as a young man of 15, 16, 17... I didn't want anything to do with him, but I knew he loved me. I knew he loved me, but every time he came near me, then he wanted to talk about Jesus. He wanted to proclaim Jesus. And I would say, no, I'm not interested in Jesus. I've got a plan. But you know, God had a plan all the way along. And he was using Ian to proclaim his love for me. Now, God wants to use you to proclaim his love for those who are out there lost. And all of us know people who don't know Jesus. Maybe family members, maybe neighbours, people that we work with. And God can use you because he has chosen you on purpose. He's made you on purpose for a purpose. What's the purpose? To proclaim his love. I love reading about missionaries. How many of you love reading? Good. Reading's great, especially read about missionaries. From the time I became a Christian, I started reading about different missionaries. Amy Carmichael, any of you heard of Amy Carmichael? She was a missionary in what country? India, that's right. And so how about Jonathan Goforth? What a wonderful name for minister, for missionary. Jonathan Goforth. Anyone heard of him? Oh, amazing. You should look up Jonathan Goforth in China. I'm actually reading, his wife wrote a book about their time on the mission field in China. Amazing things. But recently, I've been reading a book, and as I was reading this book, all of a sudden, I read a section of it, and then I was looking at this person's life. Now, I've got some money here. Okay, this is real money, laminated from different countries in the world. Okay, so the first person who thinks they can tell me the name of this guy, so I've already given it away, it's a man, all right? If you think you can know, I'm going to give you some money, okay? So who's in this? You want to be in it? Okay, good. All right, so the story goes that a missionary who was working in Africa had come back to Scotland. He'd been working out there on the field. And when he went there, he realised there was not enough labourers. And it was distressing him that the gospel couldn't go out because there wasn't enough people taking the gospel out. Does that distress you? You know, it distresses me. When we go to different countries and we see the harvest is out there and we think, God, It would be so easy if we had more people taking the gospel out. We could reach whole areas. As Jane said, that one area, just one area in Uganda, 1,000 churches with 20 children's ministries. That distresses me because I think all those children are growing up in the church and they're not hearing the truth. So it distresses me. So this guy came back and he was speaking around the churches in Scotland. This happened in the 1800s, by the way. All right, so I'm giving you clues along the line, and so you need to be listening to these clues. And so as he was speaking in this church, he went there on a I think it was a Wednesday night meeting, and it was cold, it was snowing, and he was a little bit distressed because he's thinking, there's not going to be many people here tonight. And when he got there, true, there wasn't many people. And most of the people were older people. And as he began, he thought, Lord, these people are really, you know, it's wonderful they're here, but they're not really candidates to go out on the mission field. They're already used by dates nearly up. How many feel like that? That's the way I feel. Used by dates nearly up. We've told people we've got another 10 years to go. That was a year ago. So we've got 9 years left that we're going to keep on travelling the way we are. So when he got there, he was a little bit disappointed and he thought, will I change my message? Won't I change my message? And he thought, no, I'm going to give the same message. So as he started to share this message, this was what his message was. Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Powerful, isn't it? Just three words, who will go? And he challenged these people and of course he was looking at them and thinking, if they just have a heart for it, maybe God can do something. He didn't know there was a little boy at the front of the church. And they had an organ back in those days and they had the billows. You know, have any of you seen that? Yeah, they had the billows. And this little boy was sitting there pumping the billows while they had the organ. And then he was listening to this missionary talk. And when he said, who will go, who will go, who will go? This little boy stood up and said, I will go, I will go, I will go. Does anybody know who I'm talking about yet? Okay. You'll get it soon. Somebody up the back, I think he's got it.
My wife said, you're giving some sight to Stanley?
No. So this missionary said, who will go? And he said, I will go. And that little boy, about 10 years old, they thought he was at that time, God had touched his heart. He was listening to what this missionary was saying. Are you listening this morning? Because God might be speaking to you. And you might think, oh, not me. Maybe the person next to me. But you know, God might be speaking to you this morning. And if in your heart, you can make a decision. Now, you might not all go over to another country. But all of us have to have a heart for what God is doing and seeing that we can play a part in that. Will you go? Will you go in your heart? Even if you can't go in your body, will you go in your heart? So they got around this little boy after the service and they started talking to him and his name was David. Anybody know now?
Livingston.
David Livingston. Okay, here's some money for you. That's 2,000 rupees. That's a lot of money. It used to be a lot of money, but that currency's gone out of, you can't use it anymore anyway. In Indonesia. But pray for Indonesia. So that was David Livingston. And they got around David Livingston and, as a little boy and they said, we're going to encourage you and probably the best thing you could do is to become a doctor. So he became a doctor. As he grew up, he became a doctor and he went out on the mission field. to Africa. And they, if you read the stories of David Livingstone, it is absolutely incredible what he did. And one story he told when he came back, but he was talking about this tribal group that he was trying to reach. And he went right through Zambia, which wasn't Zambia then, different countries. He discovered Victoria Falls. I've been there to Victoria Falls. Anyone been to Victoria Falls? It's incredible, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. And the Zambezi River is just huge. So I've been to Livingstone. And when he came back after many years of being in Africa, he came back and he was sharing in a church, his home church, about what God was doing. And he told of a time where he was trying to reach this tribal chief. And the chief had had enough of him and said, "Tonight we're going to come with our people and we're going to kill you all. You're all dead." So you could imagine he would have been a little bit distressed by that message from the chief. The reason why they wrote all this down, because David Livingstone used to keep diaries, and he wrote in the diary how the date and what the chief has said, and how, "Lord, you need to rescue us from this, and we're not going to allow fear to take control of us, but Lord, you've got to do it." So when he came back, after 2 years, that chief, he didn't come that night, but after 2 years, he got saved. And the whole village got saved through David Livingstone. And he said to the chief, "Why didn't you kill us that night when you said you were going to come?" He said, "We did come. But when we come, there was 39 big giants around your compound. 39 of them. We counted all these giants. And we were so scared, we left. They were protecting you." So when David shared this message back in Scotland at his church, one of the guys, the secretary of the church, came up to him afterwards and he said, "Can you tell us when that was?" And David knew, because he had his diaries, this was a date. And the secretary opened up his book and he realised that they were praying that night for him. How many people do you think was at that prayer meeting? 39 people. Isn't that incredible? For each one of those who were praying, God sent a giant. So you might not think you can do very much. You might think, "Well, I can't go. I'm too old to go, or I'm too young to go." But let me tell you, God can use you through your praying. I was really impressed yesterday morning with a prayer meeting that we had here for WOW Week. And as we started going through, and Jane and I talked about it on the way home, and we said, "These people are organised. They were so up to date." You know, they had a list on Christ for All Children, what we'd been doing. And it was so up to date. And she thought, "They're right on the ball. They know what they're doing." So whoever put that together, Murray, they did their research anyway. So God can use you by praying. So God can use you by giving. He can use you by praying. But also maybe you might come to that time where you need to go. Now, we took Rachel with us, and Bronte, isn't it? Bronte. We took you to the Philippines. How long ago was that? 2018. Wow, that was a while ago. So that was, that's 8 years ago. That's a long time, isn't it? 8 years. Now, if I was to sit down and say to these people, you two, did that impact your life? I'm sure you would look back and say, "Yeah, God did something in my life at that time." We took a young guy once to Malaysia, and when he came back, his name was Ben, and they used to call him Benny Boy. All the girls were used to get around him. He was a young guy, single guy. But his father said, "I don't know what you've done with my son, but he has changed since he's come back." And you know, God might want to do something in you to change you to going out and proclaiming his good news. So maybe God is speaking to you today about going. You can make a difference in the world. You might not think it. You might think, "Well, I'm not very special." You know, when I first started going overseas, I worked in Australia for probably 5 or 6 years. We used to go to little country towns. I started in Sydney, went to Adelaide, and then came across to Perth. And then we started going. There's not many country towns down south and up north. Like Bridgetown was the first time I got contact with Errol Kirk. And I would go up and do outreach programs where we present the gospel to the children. And then all of a sudden I was in church one morning, one Sunday morning, and the missionary was talking about how they were going to Pakistan and India, and how they were ministering in Pakistan especially to the missionaries. He was doing a conference. And while I was sitting there, the Lord spoke to me. Not audibly, but in my heart, I thought, I've got to go. I've got to go on this trip. And then straight away, you know what happened? The devil was there whispering to me, you can't go. What can you do? Besides that, you've got no money. Isn't that one of the biggest traps of the devil? He always loves to put in that, you've got no money. You can't serve God. You've got no money. And as I was sitting there, I thought, that's right, I've got no money. And straight away, I dismissed it. I can't go. And then it wouldn't go away, that desire to go on this trip. And maybe God might put a desire on your heart to go to a country and be involved in missions. On Wednesday night, we're going to be speaking about that, how you can get involved and what it takes. So come along on Wednesday night, especially you young ones over this side. Most of the young ones sit on this side. There's a few young ones over there as well. Come on Wednesday night, and it's going to be so practical. I mean, it's not up there, it's right there. Okay. So I went to this desire to go on this trip wouldn't go away. I'd never been out of Australia on a missions trip before. So I went up to the pastor and I said to him, I feel I should be going on that trip with you to Pakistan. And he said, oh, okay, well, pray about it. So I prayed about it. And I thought, well, the same excuse came up. What is it? Money, no money. The next week I got a letter from the water board. They wanted to buy an easement on our property. So they bought the easement, and you know how much money? Well, you can't say no to the water board when they want to buy an easement. You know how much money I got out of that? $2,000. And you know what? That was enough to pay for that trip to Pakistan. And when I went to Pakistan, my eyes just opened up to the world. Wow. We were up in right near the Afghan border and a refugee camp. And they were feeding 16,000 children every day of 1 litre of milk. 16,000 of them. And all these children were there. And my heart was breaking because I wanted to tell them about Jesus. But of course I couldn't. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? I ended up going back there years later. We did about 7 trips where we trained people in the local churches how to minister to the children. So God knew that desire that was on my heart. And then we went from there into India, and I started going into schools in India. And in 1 week, we ministered to probably 2,000 children. Here in Australia, if we had 200 in a week, that was amazing. 2,000. And God just opened up my heart and my eyes to think, you can do something. You can make a difference. And that just changed my life. It just changed me altogether. You know, you might come on a trip and you might think, well, I don't know what I can do, but I'm willing to have a go. I know when we went to the Philippines, we went into prisons one time. There was an old people's group. There was a young people. We went into schools. That last trip we went, we had those 4 guys that were with Jane and I, they were basketball players. And so it was Australia versus the Philippines in basketball, which was just amazing because at halftime, we called halftime, they would sit down and then they would share the gospel with them. And so God was using these 4 young men because he created them to do good works. See, God's created you, each one of you here, to be a part of the world harvest. And he wants to use this church and you in a greater way than what he's been doing. You might say this, I'm only one. What can I do? I read this a number of years ago and it really touched my heart. But I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What's the something God is asking you to do? Maybe it's to pray more. Maybe it's to believe him for more. Maybe it's to go on a trip. Maybe it's just to encourage one of your missionaries. You know, we all have a part to play. And God wants to use you. He has created you for good works. We need to shine. He's calling us to shine. Shine for him. To show the world of his love and his mercy. And he uses people just like you, ordinary people, just like a Mount Druitt elevator mechanic who knew nothing about God, was so far away from God. But God was able to pick me up and shake me and use me. Sometimes I still scratch my head and I think, God, 43 years I've been doing this now. How did you ever do it? Because I know it's impossible. And, you know, like I've... Jane and I, we started keeping records of all our trips. Well, Jane's very good at records. And over the last probably 20 years, we've done over 100 trips. In that 100 trips, there's 4 or 5 different nations because sometimes we try to back them up. And so at times we're away for 3 months and we go this country, this country, this country. So God has just done incredible things and we can do something. What's the something God is asking you to do? We're going to pray in a moment. And I challenge you this morning, open up your heart and say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. Show me what you want me to do. So let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the heart that they have. For the lost, Lord, for the world harvest that's out there. The fields are white, but the labourers are few. But Lord, you're calling this church and people in this church to go out, to take the good news to those who are lost. And Lord, you can use them in a powerful way. And Lord, I know that they're giving. I know they're praying. And Lord, I know they're sending people. I look at Rachel up the back and John. And Lord, they're from this church. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, especially for Rachel, Lord, that you'll just encourage her as she's ready to give birth. And for John as a dad, soon to have 2 children. Lord, I pray you encourage them. And Lord, as they speak to the young people, Lord, that they will tell of your wonderful mercy and love and provision. Lord, we know that you're a good God and you have called us for good works. So Lord, I just ask that each one of us will hear clearly from you. And Lord, that we can take what you are calling us to do and take steps to make that happen. So Lord, we just thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.